of judgment may be nearing. What a morning that will be. There'll be safety then in Jesus, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, clap for me. When the dawning of that morning breaks in fury o'er the world, rocks and mountains, streams and fountains, in confusion will be hurled. Sinners trembling, saints rejoicing, each departing to his place. All the ransom Christ will gather, he has saved them by his grace. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
Thank you, gentlemen. That was a blessing. Enjoyed that. Good singing tonight. All righty, here we're going to take just a couple of minutes this evening. We had a miracle this past week take place. We had two church buses go two different directions to two different camps, and both of them made it back safely without having to be towed. And so I know Brother Greg is down with his aunt in Missouri. Brother Scott, thank you. Brother Scott Hegel, if you don't know, Scott Hegel has thrown in with Greg, and he's here just about every Saturday to help and work and keep our buses running. And they had a little trouble with one of them as far as the one Brother Mick was on, as far as the battery had a loose cable. But other than that, they made it down. They made it back without any breakdowns. That's a New Testament miracle. Amen. So I am thankful for that. Boy, I was praying, and I was just, you know, every time my cell phone buzzed or rang, I thought, I hope I don't see Mick or Mike. Amen. And it wasn't until they got home, and that was a blessing. So glad for that. But I do want to take a moment tonight and let some of the young people who attended the two camps say a word of testimony about what the Lord did in their heart, maybe what they enjoyed and what the Lord said to them during the camp week. We have some of the young people that went to teenage camp, to teen camp out in Kentucky. If you're going to give a testimony, just come on down and get in place down here. And then we have about three that went to junior camp out in Iowa with Brother Bragg. So, Lydia, you and Samantha and Miles, come on up here first, okay? Stand right over here. And let's give them this mic right here, Brother Jake. And we'll do girls first and just say a word, ladies, about I don't know if this is the right height or not, but you can make it work, all right? Say a word about camp and what the Lord. Go ahead, Lydia, why don't you lead off, okay? Let me get that for you. Just speak up good and loud, okay?
This week at camp, Brother Graham was preaching, and he preached a message on friends and how you should have the right kind of friends. And that really spoke to my heart because I have some wrong friends in the neighborhood. And one of my favorite games is probably a water balloon game that we played. It's also how I hurt my arm, too. But, but that was really fun.
Amen. God bless you, Lydia. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
My favorite thing about junior camp was the people. They were always so nice, and they had, like, anything to say that would make you smile. Brother Bill Graham preached a message about staying in the hedge, and he had all of the staff go in front and make a line. And he showed how easy it is for us just to slip right through. And that really spoke to my heart about staying in the hedge.
Good, Samantha. That's good. Thank you. And this is the camper of the week for the boys. Amen. Is that right?
Yeah.
I did. How much did that cost you to be camper of the week? Did you buy them off? No. Okay. All right. Same word. But step up to the microphone so they can hear you, Miles. Okay.
My favorite part about junior camp, since this was my last year going, my favorite part was the competition. It's pretty much preparing you for pilots. It has like all the same categories. But my favorite message from Brother Graham was the one about staying in the hedge. I made the decision to stay in church and stay in the hedge that God gave me.
Good, Miles. That's a blessing. Amen. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. That's good. All right. Now, this is the first year that our teenagers have gone down to Kentucky to the camp that's under the Clay's Mill Road Baptist Church there, Brother Fugit. And actually, Dave Smith runs that camp. And, of course, he used to run the one out in Iowa. And so they had a good time. So y'all come on, those of you that are testifying, and line up and come right by here, speak into the microphone so that we can hear you. And let us know what the Lord did for your life at camp. All right? Say something good. All right. Very good. All right. You can move the microphone if you need to. All
right. I really enjoyed going to Circle C this year. I'd been there a few times when I was younger. But it's always good to go back to a place you haven't been in a while. And I really enjoyed just the spirit there, Brother Dave and the staff. Pray for you every morning by name. Just really enjoyed how much of a prayer warrior Dave Smith was. And just want to be like him like that. I enjoyed Brother Walker's message about finding your happy place. And he was just speaking on God's will is your happy place. And that whatever you do, that you should find that place in the center of his will, like being in school or obeying your parents. And I really enjoyed that message.
Good, Tramp. Thank you, buddy. That's a blessing. Amen.
I really enjoyed Circle C. It was a very good camp, and I hope to go back to it in years to come. But one of my most favorite things about it is the skits at Flagpole. The boys had a random horse show up in theirs, and I don't know how. And one of them, Lila, shoved her face full of Cheez-Its, but there was a spiritual emphasis behind it, all right? And then we had Emma break out Battle Hymn of the Republic on her violin. That was pretty good. And then the boys did really well. They tried their hardest, and they didn't give up. But the girls did get first for their team, and that was cool, I guess. But I really appreciate the preaching there. It's very good. And I liked Brother Davis's message the most. He talked about the disease of diatrophies, and it's mainly to me, I got pride, like not having pride out of it. Like,
yeah.
Any abilities that I have, I know are not really from me, but from God.
Amen.
And also, when preachers are preaching, just to not think about like other people that are doing those things, but to look at your own heart.
Good.
That's
Thank
it.
Thank you, Sierra. Very good. Very good. Amen.
Right. All right. I had a good time over at Circle C Baptist Ranch down in Kentucky. It's new to me. One thing I liked at Circle C was there was like different competitions. There was a preaching competition, singing competition. Many of you already know. I entered for the male solo competition. I got first.
Amen, right?
And
good job.
Our the teen ensemble, we got first. Surprisingly, I mean, yeah, it was really nice. And another thing that I liked about it was the preaching, and I liked this one message that Brother Davis had preached. It was about staying pure and holy, and God really spoke to my heart about
Good,
that.
Ray.
And one area of staying pure and holy was what you look at on the internet.
Right.
And God spoke to my heart about that, and I made a decision. Stay pure and holy.
Good, Ray. Right. That's
right.
Great.
Hope to come back. Hope to one of these days actually be a helper over there.
So good for you. Man, buddy, that's good. Thank you, Ray. Good stuff.
When I thought of something I liked about Circle C, I thought about how they had 25-cent snow cones. That was a pretty good deal, I thought. So I got one of those sometimes.
And they had some pretty good ice cream, too, so I got some of that. But I really liked the messages, too. And one was preached just about, like, if people come that are new, not to just, like, go and sit with your friends and not worry about it, but to go talk to them and make them feel welcome and just, like, hope that they come back and pray for them and stuff like that. So
good. Good job, Mindy. Thank you. Amen.
Well, this was my first time at Circle C Baptist Ranch, and one of the things that I liked was the activities that they had, and they were pretty fun. One of them was on Thursday afternoon, we played this team obstacle course, and we all had to not let go of the rope, so that worked as a team, and we won at that. But most importantly was the preaching, and the very first message was Brother Walker, like Trent said, finding your happy place, and he meant that finding your God's will and sticking to it, and that's what I'm going to do.
Man, good for you, Colt. Good job.
One thing about Circle C that I really enjoyed was the spirit there. It was just really refreshing, and it took you out of the world for a week, and I really enjoyed that. But I really enjoyed Brother Walker's message. It was every miracle takes a process of time, and it was mainly about keep praying for something because you never know when God's going to answer it.
Good.
And it really spoke to my heart about keep praying for my family and other miracles I want to see happen.
Good, Taylor. Good. Good, Jay.
I really enjoyed Circle C a lot. My favorite thing was probably the field games, and my favorite field game was probably the capture the flag where you had like a flag footballs on your side and four guys on your team winning a circle against a four guys on three other teams, and you had to try and fight and rip off the other guys' flags, and that was just a lot of fun. And more on the serious note, my favorite message is probably Brother Walker's message on having courage, not only like stupid risk-taking courage, but also spiritual courage and like not afraid to go out and talk to people when you see them sitting there and you have extra time.
Good, Jason. Thank you, buddy. That's a blessing. Those are good. I enjoyed hearing those, and I had not heard any of them. I just wanted to hear a little bit about what had gone on in their hearts. And open your Bible tonight to Proverbs chapter 20, and I want to preach along the lines of what these testimonies were about tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse number 18. For sake of time, we'll just keep moving here, and we won't stand. And let me just read the verse for us. Chapter 20 and verse 18. Folks, don't dismiss what God does in the heart of a young person, okay? Luke McDonald has taken the afternoon ministry and really just has overseen it now for a while, for several months, and on his own has come up with material to be handed out every week. The kids not only get the Bible lesson here at the church, they go in the huddle group to discuss what's been going on in their lives spiritually, prayer requests and everything. They go home with a little piece of 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, right? Luke, where are you sitting? Where's Luke tonight? Where are you at? Here. In the security detail. Good. Hey, Luke. Were you asleep? Oh, okay, good. That's just 8.5 by 11 folded, right? Oh, it's two. Okay, so it's like... Okay, so it's 7-8 pages long. And they have a workbook. And these are the kids that come in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Tom Fitzgerald was visiting yesterday, not prearranged, not set up, knocks on the door. Mom opens the door. Here's all the kids, all four of the kids that ride the bus. They're all sitting there with their paper, all going through the day's work, answering their things and the questions. And they're seeing more kids than ever in the 11 o'clock in the junior church and at 3 o'clock. Bringing their Bibles with them to church. And so you don't dismiss what God does in the heart of a child. It has potential like you can't believe. And I appreciate so very much the people here that invest time, effort, energy into the young people. Now I want you to look with me at verse number 18, where the Bible says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. So every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of established purposes. Established purposes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the camp week that you gave to our juniors and seniors, and pray, God, that they would remember how you spoke to their heart. And then, Lord, that they would establish that decision in their heart for the future. And Lord, not just them, but every one of us in this room, when you grace us by speaking to our hearts and you bring us to a point of decision, and we establish some purpose, God, I pray that we will be dedicated to keep it to see it work of fruitfulness in our lives. Help me, I pray, in these moments in Christ's name and amen. There was plenty of opportunity for me this past week to give some thought to the blessings of youth camp and youth conferences. They're in full swing right now. Starts pretty much in the months of June. In the month of June, and then continues out through July. Most of the camps in Independent Baptist realm are done by 1st of August, maybe the second week of August at the very latest. And I don't remember a time when our teenagers and juniors went to camp at two different camps in the same week like they did this past week. At the same time, I was in a conference down in Texas in Arlington with over 200 teenagers in that meeting down in Arlington. And they had over 200 teenagers at the camp in Kentucky. Am I right, Brother Mick? 200 there, and about 80 over in. We were at the low week out at Cedar River for the juniors. Now, that's not all. You take the other camps that are going on. You've got hundreds, if not thousands, of teenagers from Independent Baptist churches at some kind of camp or youth conference, and sometimes they go to two. I do not dismiss the potential of youth camp or youth conference to change a life. I don't dismiss that at all. Now, some people only measure the benefit of something by their own experience with it. All right? That's all they can measure it by. Some years ago, there was a man that is no longer here, but there was a man who I promoted camp one time, and he wouldn't involve his kids in camp. Now, some don't. I'm not getting on that. I'm just telling you what he said. He dismissed the potential of camp, and for this reason. He wrote to me about it, or he spoke to me about it. But as a teenager, he had a bad experience at camp. And he went on to write about how, you know, it was this and it was that. So it is a waste of time. It is a waste of money. But, you know, maybe that's how it was for him. But I grieve when I hear talk like that, because that's not necessarily how it's going to be for his children or how it would be for his kids. And I will say this. I can tell you this. And it dawned on me this week that, you know, for 26 years now, 26 years in a row, I have preached at least one camp or teen or conference every summer. 26 years in a row. Sometimes more than one. Oftentimes, you know that, okay? More than one. And I hope, church, that you'll be patient with me. I hope you will, okay? I tell places no. I turn things down. I try to watch it. I did add Scott Hanks this year because I've told Scott Hanks no for about, I have not been there since 2011. So that's 6 years, you know, for 5 years I told him no. And he asked me to come, and I worked it in. It means being gone another way. I've got Cedar River, not this week, but next. And, you know, this run is going to come to an end. I know it is. And you know what? Amen. And I mean that. I'll be happy not to go. Okay, but for some reason, you know, Jerry Ross and myself and a couple other guys, people are still asking us to come, and God is speaking to hearts, and I don't know what to tell you. I'm in the ministry to serve the Lord. Part of that is to pastor Faith Baptist Church. That's the priority. So I'm trying to balance it all. But for 20 and so that doesn't count youth conferences that go on other times of the year besides the summer. But I'm saying 26 years in a row. That's over a quarter century. I have preached at camps and conferences in the summer. 26 years. And it only takes one message to change a kid's life forever. One. Just one. And you think about all the... I'll tell you somebody who has maintained an appreciation for youth camp, and that's Terry Parsons, Terry Gray, who was here when I came, who was part of that group that got called up out of the crowd my second summer here at Cedar River. And the next year she got saved at teen camp. And she will tell you to this day that charted her course. And then she married Travis, and now their kids are teenagers. And I was somewhere where Travis and Terry were they came to hear me preach. And a lot of times they don't come to hear me preach. They come to see and talk and just renew fellowship. And they said, but they had to get back because their church had some kind of a fundraiser for the kids. And she said, you know, Travis and Terry said, you know, our kids are going to camp. That's somebody who has never forgotten the potential that camp, what camp can have in a life. It changed, one service changed not only her eternal destiny, but her life. Now, it's expensive when you have multiple children. I understand that. It's sometimes a battle to get them to go, but the potential is worth it. It's worth it. We got a lot of young couples right now with children back there in the nursery and 4 or 5 years of age. We have our own primary day camp here, but I hope that husband and wife, mom and dad, you will begin to plan and prepare for your kids to be able to attend summer camp. I think it's the potential for God to speak to their heart, and especially teenagers, when they wear down, as they wear down physically, their resistance to the Word of God weakens. That's all there is to it. I've seen it too many times to even argue with you. That's what happens. And so think about it, okay? You compare the potential to your kid hearing 6 or 7 messages to sitting in front of a TV all week. You tell me what that potential is, okay? So not all kids who don't go to camp sit in front of a television. I'm not saying that. Some do. But my point stands. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. I've heard too much from young adults who were 26 years ago, were in those first camps. They were down at the camp, down at the conference in Arlington this week. There were, I believe, 15, 35 to 40-year-old adults, 15, that had been in youth camps or youth conferences 16 years ago, 18 years ago, at Windsor Hills, at Cedar River. I mean, they're married, they're stable, they're serving God, and they go back to camp. And not just, folks, not just me, other speakers as well, okay? Other speakers as well. But I talk to, these are people that I crossed paths with every summer during their teenage years. Now they're in their late 30s. And now I am preaching to teenagers whose moms and dads were teenagers. And I'm telling you, you're not ever gonna sway me on the potential of what God can do in the heart of a young person at camp, at some kind of camp. All right. Now, that being said, what I want to do tonight for the next few minutes, I want to charge the young people, I want to charge the teenagers, the juniors, who went to camp, and you made some kind of decision concerning your relationship with God. I want to charge you to keep that decision. How do you keep a decision, okay? How do you make a choice and then stay on course with that choice? Now, I know there are some people who mock, you know, making a decision. And it's usually ones who never make one. I would rather a kid make multiple and keep a handful than never make one. And so, this would apply not only to the folks at camp, this would apply to choices that you and I make at church services, at personal devotions, at other places where God speaks to our hearts about something, and we make a decision at any age. How do you stay the course? How do you keep a decision? Well, look here at that. Let me say some things out of this verse tonight, Proverbs 20, 18. Every purpose. Number one, decisions are purposes. Decisions are purposes. The word decision is used 2 times in the Bible. That's it. The word decided is used 1 time in the Bible. So 3 times the words decision or decided is used in the Word of God. But a synonym for the word decide is purpose. And here we read about establishing a purpose. The definition of the word purpose. Listen to this. I like it. That which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. Now, that's what most decisions that are made during an invitation time are. They are something that a person sets before themselves as an object to be reached or accomplished. You know, God speaks to my heart during a message. I go to the altar. I set this before me as something to be reached or accomplished. It may be something to add to my life. It may be something to avoid in my life. It may be something to delete from my life. Any number of objectives. You heard two or three different kinds of decisions that these young people made at camp in their testimonies tonight. And you know what? I just happen to think, yeah, there's some that goof off and do it for out of peer pressure and emotionalism and stuff like that. But I would say the vast majority of decisions made in the hearts of teenagers and young children at camp are holy and good and right. And that decision becomes their purpose. Their purpose. By the way, church, you want to be very sensitive to the work of God in your heart during a message. And don't dismiss God's work. God speaking to your heart. You know, God speaks through His Word. And this unchanging book is God's voice to man. But God speaks to me. He speaks to you personally through reading the Word of God, through thinking about the Word of God, or through hearing it preached. So in the course of a message, when the sweet Spirit of God comes by your seat, by your pew, stops and visits your heart. I don't deserve that, and you don't deserve that. I don't merit that, and you don't merit that. That is the grace of God. That's God's grace. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we that the God of the universe would come to our heart and through His Word reach out and squeeze? He could leave us alone. And that's the most dangerous place to be. So you want to be sensitive. In a service, whether it's church, camp, youth conference, when God speaks to your heart, pardon me, and the decision that He brings to your mind, decisions are purposes. Now, number two, let me say this tonight. Purposes need to be, pardon me, established. They need to be established. Look what he says in verse 18. Every purpose is established. Now, the word means set. The word means fixed firmly. It means grounded, okay? This is like setting a post in concrete. It's fixed. It's not going anywhere. A decision or a purpose, listen to this, to accept Christ and be saved is fixed by the promise of God. It is done, it is settled, because salvation is a work of God. You come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trust Him, and God does the work of salvation. And brother, that's settled. That's settled once and for all. But after salvation, purposes concerning following Christ that you and I make include a human element. They include a human element. Those purposes are a result of God working in our lives. And it's put before us, but people, we have to put forth some effort or those purposes will be lost. They'll be gone. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and look here. Hold your finger there. We'll be coming back to the book of Proverbs in just a minute. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You come to God for the matter of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves your soul. That is fixed, permanent, done, settled. That's never changing. But when it comes to following Christ and being a disciple of Christ, God puts these purposes in our hearts, brings them to our mind. We set them before us. Yes, it's His working. Pardon me, I don't know why I'm coughing all of a sudden. But it involves some human effort. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Mick, would you hand me that glass of water back there, please? Make sure it's mine, not yours. I don't want to get what you got. Amen. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Now look at verse number 12. Philippians 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he's, folks, not talking about soul salvation. You can't work your way to soul salvation. He's talking about sanctification there. That's part of salvation. Sanctification is becoming less and less like the world and more like Jesus Christ. Now look at what he says in verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So Paul tells the Philippian people, God is working in you. Now don't dismiss that. And don't neglect it. Because it's not just some emotion that's working in you. God is working in you. And so you take what God has worked in you, and you work that out. You work out what God has worked in. And He said, do it with fear and trembling. Be serious about it. The altar should never be used carelessly. Should never be treated as some kind of a joke. The altar is a serious place. What brings you to an altar should be what God is working in you about, concerning. What did God say during the message? What did God say during the message on friends? What did God say during the message on a happy place? What did God say about the message on the hedge and the other messages that you young people referred to? What did God work in you through His Word as Brother Graham, Brother Davis, Brother Walker preached? What did God work in you? Then the Bible said, Paul said, you take what God's worked in you and you work that out with fear and trembling. Folks, because it's not trifle. It's the God of heaven working in us. Don't be careless about it. Be sincere about it. Be serious about it. And you come and you make a decision. You make a purpose. There's something before you. It's set before you. And it's what God put in your path and on your heart. And you get fixed about that. And you get set firm. And you get founded. This is my purpose. And I shall not be moved. Because here it is, folks. Unestablished purposes will not last. Said it often. This is not where your decision ends. This is where your decision begins. It's got to be taken home and put into work and put into effort, or it will be lost. You have to keep it in front of you. So decisions are purposes. Purposes need to be established. Number three, purposes are established through counsel. Now I want you to look back to Philippians chapter 20. Proverbs chapter. You go looking for Philippians chapter 20. You'll be looking a long time. Amen. But Proverbs chapter 20. And look again at verse number 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. So the specific thought here in Proverbs, in this verse, is about going to war. You don't just initiate a war without wise counsel. I think I'll go draw. That's Kim Jong-un. That's it. That's who that is. Over in North Carolina. He just does things to do it. You know. Korea. What did I say? North Carolina. Help me, Lord. You know, Alzheimer's is very hereditary. It's very genetic. My wife has gone on red alert about Alzheimer's. North Carolina, is that what I said? North Carolina. Lord help us, boy, anyway. But anyway, North Korea. That guy's going to fool around until somebody's going to drop a surprise on him one of these days. But anyway, all right, on course here. You don't just go to war on a whim. All right? Now, you ever think about this? When you make a decision, when you reach a purpose, and you want to establish that purpose, and that purpose is holy and good and right, you know what you are, folks? You're essentially going to war. Because the devil's going to fight it. And the world's not going to encourage you. And I'm going to tell you something else. Your flesh is not going to get behind it either. So when you make a decision, I don't care if it's camp, conference, or Sunday night, or Sunday morning, or Wednesday night, chapel at school, Sunday school. When you get a purpose that God has worked in your heart, and now you want to establish that purpose, set it in concrete, put it before you so you can accomplish it, and you decide, I'm going to keep this, then you are going, it is war. So in order to establish your purpose, the Bible says it requires counsel. It requires advice, instruction for directing the conduct of another. This is how purposes are established. Purposes are established by seeking advice, direction, instruction from another as to how to maintain your purpose. How do you accomplish your purpose? And you know what ultimately this is, folks? It's accountability. Maybe I'm setting Brother Mick up for more sessions than he has time to handle. You know, some of your purposes are revisiting decisions that were already made previously. And it's just saying, Lord, I remember when you spoke to my heart years ago about this, and you did again this morning, this afternoon, this evening, and I'm just coming to the altar to revisit that purpose and stay on course. That's what some of them are. I don't think that's wrong, folks. I think that's good. Nobody. Nobody makes one decision and sticks with it completely. Nobody. You got to revisit and revisit and revisit and revisit your decisions. Human nature. Now, you know that's true. So I think it's helpful to read. But so, you know, you may not need. But when God has brought you to a major decision, and when He does, you know it when He does. And you need some counsel, you need some advice, you need some accountability to help establish your purpose. It could be with your parents. A couple of you kids said something tonight about friends. You know, talk to your parents. It could be your youth pastor. It could be the youth pastor's wife. It could be the Sunday school teacher. It could be the principal. It could be the pastor. But look, when you want to keep a decision, God's spoken to your heart, put a purpose in front of you, and you know it's the work of God, and you want to establish, sometimes, and I'll say rare, but there are cases where just a good, solid friend can be helpful to keeping you accountable. But you nail it down and you establish your purpose through advice and accountability. I have witnessed in this church with people in this room, God giving tremendous victory to some who got a purpose in front of them and established it through accountability. But 9 times out of 10, we don't get that. We don't like to be accountable. Just reading your Bible, like we preached about this morning, so that your heart will be guarded against the temptation that goes with recognition and relationship and riches. If God spoke to your heart, maybe it's your spouse you talk to. Maybe you make yourself accountable to your spouse. Encourage me in my Bible reading. I've sat down with people who are in this room. Major things. Major purposes that they needed to make. Had to make. To have the blessing of God on their life. And they put themselves under accountability. They got some advice, some counsel, and they established their purpose through accountability. That's how you keep your decisions. That's how you see it through. Now again, you know, you may revisit decisions that you've made in the past, and that's, you just revisit it, and Lord, I'm just here to say I'm still on course and help me stay on course. But I don't have to belabor this, you know what I'm talking about. God nails you about something that's got you, and God nails you about it. And that purpose, that becomes your purpose, it's in front of you, that objective, I need to get to that place in my life, and you want to establish this and get it settled, the greatest thing to do is get some advice. Get some counsel. Get some instruction from somebody else. It's not always the pastor. It may be a wise friend. Men, you look across the auditorium, you see Brother so-and-so, you say, you know what, I'm going to sit down with that guy, he's quiet, he keeps his mouth shut, and I'm going to talk to him. And that has happened in this room, where men have gone to other men. couple times they even ran it by me first. You care if I talk to Brother so-and-so about this matter? Man, help yourself. I don't have to be the go-to guy. I don't have to be. I can't be. But you find somebody that you respect and love and admire and you trust and you get with them. And you, fellas, I hope you didn't take the book we gave out for Father's Day and just set it aside on the extraordinary husband. I'm reading it in the month of July. 31 chapters. You see those chapters? 2.5 pages. They're short. And my heart's been challenged. And he even talked about this in one of his books. One of his chapters talked about accountability. This is how you establish a purpose. If you need help, get it. There is help if you want it. Get it. Somebody can advise you. Somebody can counsel. Somebody can give you some instruction and help put you on a road to keeping your decisions. So, decisions are purposes. Purposes need to be established, and they are established through counsel. Now, I want you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 15. Here's the last thing, and I'm done. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at chapter 15, verse number 22. Here's number 4. No counsel leads to disappointed purposes. Look at chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Yes, I think that's a reference to the Word of God, but I think it's also a reference to people. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. That word disappointed, defeated of expectation, defeated of hope, defeated of desire, frustrated. They're frustrated. Now, let me tell you what's so dangerous about unestablished purposes. Decisions that were real, that were right, that were good, that were holy, but were never established and never kept. You know what's dangerous about that? It's the mentality that a person develops. They hear a message, God speaks to their heart, the Spirit of God moves them to a decision, but they think, it didn't work in the past, it won't work now. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the decision was not the problem. Responding to the Lord was not the problem. The problem was the purpose was never established. Never established. That's what's got to happen. God works it in, but it was never worked out through purpose that was established by counsel, advice. You know, the booklet, the conference that I spoke in Texas. By the way, Nate Starr was there. And his wife. And she's doing a lot better. She's feeling a lot better. And their family and some of their kids. So it was nice to see Nate, spend a little time with him at the conference. They gave out a little booklet for the kids to take notes in. And one thing that I was impressed with the booklet, you know, I think it was all alliterated. So it had preacher, and then it had a word for scripture, and then it had, and I don't know what a P word, then it had points for the message, and then at the bottom, it had plan. Plan. So here's the pastor that spoke, and here's the text that he used, and here's the points of the message. And this is how God spoke to my heart, and this is how I'm going to keep it. Without that, purposes are disappointed. They fall short. It's not God's fault. It's not the Word's fault. God worked it in. We were moved by the Holy Spirit. But we never set it in concrete. Never established it. I'm telling you, I'm here to say tonight, I know, you know, we got to be careful, folks, that we don't sit down after 27 years together and just decide we're going to ride this thing out and just enjoy what God's given us. God is still in the life-changing business. And just because you're 50 or 60 or 70 doesn't mean that you're beyond the life-changing power of God. That book is for all of us. And God works in all of us, and it's up to us to take what God works in and work it out. And move on our purpose established with a plan that may involve getting somebody else included in this thing to help me. That's how you establish your purpose. You want to keep your decision you made at camp? You want to keep, did you revisit a decision you made before? All right. Did you make a major decision about something big in your life, young people? You haven't talked to anybody about it? That's very dangerous. You should sit right down tonight when you go home, sit down and talk to your parents about it. Well, I'm afraid I'll get in trouble. And parents, you need to be sensitive about that. You need to be sensible about it. You can always have mercy on your kids. If they come to you and they get ready, but look, I'm going to wipe the slate clean, and here I go, because this is what God said to me at camp. And if they don't bring it to you, Mom and Dad, they're not going to skirt you and go to Brother Mick and be right with God. That decision involves Mom and Dad letting them know. So you've got to sit down with Mom and Dad, and you've got to say, here it is. I'm going to lay it out for you. If you have an unsaved mom, unsaved dad, then here's your help. But you get it out there and you establish your purpose. This is what God worked in. Now I want His help and I need your help to help me work it out to achieve my purpose. It can change a life. It can absolutely change a life without sounding self-promoting. I have not preached this message here for a long, long time. Some of you remember a message that I preached years ago called Seeing the Invisible You. I cannot tell you how many married adults have come up to me and said, I made a decision after hearing Seeing the Invisible You at a youth conference. I can't number them. I'm not patting myself on the back. That's the power of this book. That's how God uses His Word. But it has to be established. Established. Set in concrete. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father in heaven, bless the preaching of Your Word tonight. Please bless the results from the two camps. Thank You for the churches that invest money to provide the camps for our kids. Thank You for the men who oversee the camps, for those who work on staff. Thank You for our adults who drove and chaperoned and provided supervision so that our young people could go and have a pleasant, a fun, and hopefully spiritual experience at camp this week. Beyond camp, I pray, God, for all of us at altar time, at invitation time, to be sensitive to You as Your Word is preached, and that, God, we would make our decisions established, if need be, with instruction and counsel and advice from somebody that can help us. Father, please, may the purposes You work in us be worked out in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar is open for salvation. The altar is open for baptism. If the Lord, if you're here to get baptized, let's do that quickly. And the altar is open for you to pray. If God spoke to your heart tonight about established purposes, ladies, play us a song of invitation.